Welcome to Get a Grip with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, hey, welcome to the Get a Grip podcast. I am Shane Bacon. Hope you guys are having a lovely December. Lovely December. Hope you're having a happy holidays as well. Fun one for your Friday and weekend enjoyment. Claire Rogers is back on the pod, and we just, you know, it's December. There's not a lot going on. You kind of got to shoot some ideas at each other and hope for the best. We did a lot of things that we overthink about in terms of golf stuff. So maybe it's tour stuff, historical stuff, and maybe it's just, you know, golf things that cross our minds probably, you know, more often than they cross other people's minds. And also things that I feel like golfers understand, that they cross the golfer's mind as well. But before we get to Claire, just a reminder, I wrote a children's golf book. It's called The Golfer's Zoo. You can buy it. You could buy it for yourself. You can buy it for your friends or expecting parents, and I think they'll like it. Cool illustrations. Aviel Basel did it, and the guy's a rock star, and Back Nine Press was an incredible partner along the way. So if you go to Back Nine Press, that's with the number nine not written out, back9press.com/bacon, it'll take you right to the link, and you can just order it right there. And I hope you enjoy it, and keep sending in the pictures. If you did buy it already and you're reading it to your kiddos or whatever, please keep sending me on Instagram the pictures. I love them. They are awesome, and they're a big part of why doing stuff like this is very special. So thank you guys for the support. Let's get to the craziness that is this podcast. All right, Claire Rogers is with us. One of my favorite people in golf. Been a while, Claire. I don't think we've done a pod together basically since there was like real golf happening. But good to see you. Good to hear from you. How's December going?
It's good. You know, a little bummed Tiger wasn't playing last week, but we've got the match. We've got PNC. So there's lots to look forward to.
Doesn't slow down. This is going to be a bit of a deviation from what you typically hear on the podcast. This was a Claire idea, randomly. I don't know if you planned it this way, but, you sent me a text the other day out of the blue, speaking of our color matching skills, completely out of the blue. And when you sent it, it kind of got my mind a swirling. Basically, the premise of this podcast is stuff we think too much about or too often about in golf. So it's not necessarily hot takes, even though some of these will be hot takes. It's just simply things that kind of rotate in our minds daily, weekly, monthly as golf people that probably shouldn't bounce around in our brains. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Like, we've just dedicated too much time, and it's almost embarrassing to admit to other people, but I think in our circle, we're good, because everyone you asked on Twitter and people had dozens of things that they think of too much. So we're in good hands here. We're not alone.
Yeah. And I want you to start with what started this whole thing. This was the text. This was your take that I agree with and I love, and I want to hear a little bit more about it. So what kind of got all this going?
All right. Every so often I'll start thinking about something and I just have to text like 10 people and say, am I alone here? So I texted you and I said, and this is not slander towards Aim Point because it obviously works, but I said, is it embarrassing? Because just, you know, you're standing on the green, and I don't understand all of Aim Point, but what I see is someone standing in front of the hole with their hands up, kind of looking at it, backing up, doing it again. And I was just like, oh, I would hate to have to do that on TV in front of people.
It's funny, you know, when I kind of think about Aim Point, I think about the Keegan viral video from last year or maybe this year, whatever, where he had like the four footer and he was stepping over the line, turning his back to the hole. And I guess kind of thinking about it, because I agree with this, by the way, and like there might be takes on this podcast that could be considered slanderous. That's not the point of this. That's just simply these are things we overthink. And
yes,
I agree with you on this take. When you really dive into it, if you were an alien that landed on Earth and somebody was trying to explain golf to you, and then you saw someone straddling their line, not looking at the hole, and I always say it's the look out. You're just kind of staring into space. You know, you're not looking down. You're not looking way up. You're just kind of looking straight forward. It is incredibly awkward to see someone do aim point. So I think you're right on this. I think this is something I agree with. And now I'm thinking about it more often than I probably should.
Do you use aim point?
I did an aim point class probably 4 or 5 years ago with my buddy George Connor in Connecticut, just to get a just to understand it, because it was like starting to get hot in the media worlds, right? I mean, more people are using it. I think when Adam Scott started aim pointing, everybody was like, okay, this isn't going away. So I don't use it. I get it, I guess, to a certain extent, like you're using the ground. And this is something, you know, Max has touched on this year. He said it's helped him so much because he realized he was a bad greens reader. But still, the sensation of standing there, doing your hands, putting them down, figuring that two, all right, it's a two, it's a, you know, the whole idea, like, it's kind of Star Trekian, like, you look rather awkward the whole time. There's never a moment where you look cool.
No, it's kind of like a modern day version of, like, plumb bobbing, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. Again, I'm not a competitive golfer, so I kind of just rather three putt than have to go through that whole situation. But yeah, that was kind of my first thing that I was the thing that I've been thinking about the most lately.
It's a great jumping off point. And this is going to be kind of a mix of like tour things and just random golf thoughts, because when you mentioned this to me, my mind went immediately and directly to something I think about way too often. And this is going to be my first one of these, Claire. So I think about the Jordan Spieth putt on the 16th green at the 2015 Open Championship. Now, it's weird because, of course, he didn't win that Open. Like, he didn't win St. Andrews. But I think about it like probably twice a week, if not more often than that, which is really weird. I mean, 7 years ago, right? Almost 8 years ago is when this happened. He didn't win the major championship. But I have a take. I think it's the most impactful and important putt made since Phil's putt in 04 at the Masters. Now, of course, Phil won that Masters as his first major championship, and it was the leap and all that stuff. You could argue Tiger in 08. Very important putt. It was a singular moment. He was going to win the U.S. Open, or he was not going to win the U.S. Open. Even with the injury and the long playoff and Rocco and all that stuff, I don't think there was stuff that mattered in the forefront or the afterthought of that major championship like it did with Spieth. Spieth was going for three straight Grand Slams. He was 21 years old, Claire. 21 years old. And he basically threw away this Open when he made double on 8. And he gets to 16, and he has to make this 30-footer, right? Like, to really have a shot at the playoff and to have a chance at maybe winning three straight majors and having a legit chance at the Grand Slam, he's got to make, what, 30, 35-foot putt, and he makes it dead center. I actually talked to Jordan about the putt. We were both on Pelotons at the gym at St. Andrews this year in the Roussacks, and I said, hey, man, listen, I got to ask you about this putt because, again, as I mentioned to you, Claire, I think about it like 5 times a week. I'm sure he never thinks about it. Like,
I was going to ask you, think you think of it more
than he never thinks about it. And he said when that putt went in, as he was walking to 17T, it's the most nervous he's ever been in his life at golf. Like, after the putt went in, and again, 21 years old, walking to 17T. Yeah. But I just feel like when you think about, A, how hard it is to be a multi-time champion in terms of major championships in the modern era. I mean, there's so many players that are only going to have one major. And to think about a young guy going for three straight, I just think the impact of that putt and what it could have done. Of course, he made bogey at 17 and didn't make the playoff. But what that could have done and what that meant at the time is something – it's almost like the putting version of the Tiger shot at the Canadian Open over water from the fairway bunker. It was like peak Tiger, peak iron play Tiger, takes on a shot that nobody in the world would ever think to hit and pulls it off. And I just feel like Jordan was like peak long putter at the time, and he makes this putt. And again, my mind goes back to it way too often.
All right. So yours, and I think a lot of the replies were like very specific shots. Mine are kind of just like concepts surrounding golf.
Right.
Okay. Here's mine. This is a question that I ask myself. So you've seen like they put videos of players' swings and they'll like take away the person. So it's almost just like a skeleton that you're looking at.
Yeah.
And they're saying, whose swing is that? I think, and I wonder, could I recognize players' walks like that? And I think that's
a great idea. It's a great idea.
I think I Max 100%.
For sure.
Rory 100%.
Absolutely.
Tiger these days,
yes. DJ,
I think most guys I could get. You know, now maybe not as like I would say if we looked a year ago at the top 50, I could get all of them. I don't know if I could
all of them. You think not you would go 50 for 50?
I think I would go 35 for 50.
Okay.
Like I don't think I know Tom Kim's walk that well yet. But I think there are other guys who have been out there for a while. And yeah, I think I do know their walks, right?
I mean,
when they're in contention, not when they're walking down the street, but when they're dialed in coming down the stretch on the weekend.
Like the walk is such a signature of an athlete. You know, I just feel like LeBron has a unique move. Like the way LeBron walks and his feet are like out versus in. So many athletes' feet kind of pigeon in, you know, and LeBron's is like the rare athlete where his feet kind of point out. I feel like I could pick out Giannis's walk, and like Brady, as tall as he is, kind of hunches a bit when he walks. Like it's a great point. And considering how often we see golfers walking, like they're walking like four of the five
hours. You see
hours.
It more than,
You know, like this would actually be an interesting thing to do. Like we should find someone that could do this. I mean, how much this would cost might be a bigger question. Like, can you guys silhouette golfers' walks? But to do a test, like to really test Claire's ability to see if she could really do 35 of 50.
It's like the blind taste test where you get like all different types of water or like sodas and see if you can get them. I think I could do pretty well.
So I was watching have you watched the Pepsi Where's My Jet thing on Netflix yet? Have you watched that 4-part series thing? So, I mean, it's really interesting. Basically Pepsi had a promo in the '90s and it was like to win a jet. And this guy did what was asked of him. And it was a big thing, and it's 4 parts and it's interesting, but they do taste test of Pepsi Coke for everybody they interviewed. And as I'm watching it, I cannot believe how much the people picked the one they didn't think they pick over Coke and Pepsi, considering like to you and me, the uniqueness of how they taste. And then I'm obviously it must be hard, right? I mean, if these people that are like former executives of Pepsi are picking Coke, then it's got to be very difficult. But yeah, the blind test of the walk is a great one. And we haven't even talked about LPGA players. Like I can only imagine the LPGA walks, if you really think about it, are probably rather unique.
Like Nelly is cool. Yes. Like she has swagger when she walks.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder who has the dorkiest walk. Like, I wonder which player has a walk. Because a lot of these people we've mentioned, you know, Matt, like Rory's got like the swaggiest golf walk ever. Tiger's has always been up there. DJ's just fits DJ's personality. I'm trying to think of like what player has a walk that isn't cool. Like, is there a non-cool top 10 player in the world walk?
Well, I think if you gave Rory's little leap, to a bad player,
ooh,
it would
good
be
call.
Weird.
Yeah, it fit. It's like the walks fit the player.
Yes, exactly.
That's right, a great one. Okay, I've got one for you. Why do we call it the Tiger Slam when he won 4 straight majors across 2 years? Why do we uniquely call it the Tiger Slam and not a Grand Slam when the PGA Tour season wraps around over 2 years? So the idea of the Tiger Slam is that he didn't win 4 in the same year, but the PGA Tour season goes across 2 years. So a full season is like 2018, 2019, but for some reason we can't call Tiger Slam a Grand Slam because it went over 2 years, even though that's how the PGA Tour season works. Does this make sense?
Yes, no, it does. And I've definitely thought about this before, but I also can't fully wrap my brains. Okay, but the majors are all
in the same year.
In the one. So correct. That's got to be why, right?
Right. But it's for, again,
it still
like
doesn't
if
make
we're,
sense.
If we're going to call the PGA Tour season and it's over 2 years, I mean, you're starting the season in 22 and it ends in 23.
Yes.
Why do we have to call out Tiger's 4 straight majors as its own unique slam? And if he would have just won the 01 Masters, right, it would have just been a Grand Slam, even though the season wraps across two. It's a weird one. I know it takes a minute. You kind of let it settle in the brain. But you hear what I'm saying, though? Like, we should just call it a Grand Slam.
Right. But do you think it's because it's Tiger? They wanted to give it its own name?
Well, I feel like this was a big argument when it happened, Claire. I mean, I was in college when it happened, I guess. You know, like, I was young, but I remember there being an argument of, is it a Grand Slam or not? Because it happened the next year, which again, to me is harder to do that because you have to wait, whatever, 6.5, 7 months and then still win the next major. So in theory, you'd have to be in form, you know, like Rory, right? Rory played such excellent golf at the end of this year. And if he doesn't come out in 2023, you know, guns a-blazing, it makes sense because, you know, he had in theory 2 to 3 months off of golf. And for Tiger, he had 6.5, 7 months off of golf, yet he comes out and wins the 4 straight majors. So to me, it's almost more impressive. But I just feel like with the wraparound season, we could just call it the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's
you
a
didn't
weird
love
one.
It's okay. It's okay. That's part. This is a workshopping. This is a workshopping
podcast.
No,
I do like it. It's more that I can't I just don't like who made that decision, because I don't like that. That's, you know what I mean?
Speaking of decisions, I'll throw one more at you quickly.
All right.
I said this on Twitter. Why are certain courses country clubs, certain courses golf clubs, and certain courses golf links? And I know the difference in a country club and like a public golf course. You're right. Not going to call a public golf course a country club, but even like Augusta National Golf Club, right? It's not Augusta National Country Club. And it's because it's probably more golf than not. But I just feel like I don't really know when they were named and why they're named certain things versus other things.
Is that up to the discretion of the people who make the course?
Like in the 1900s or whatever, when the courses were built. But I just, you know, like you go and you're like, this one's a country club.
Yeah.
Is it because it has a pool? Like, is it because it has paddle tennis? Like, is that the reason that there's certain names? Is a golf club just golf? You know, like what's the reasoning for this?
Well, I think about that a lot too, with like colleges versus universities, right?
Yes.
Because universities have grad school, but I went to Boston College.
Is that
college.
What it is?
That's what it's supposed to be, but okay. Boston College is a university, and if we're going by that.
Right.
So it doesn't make sense.
So change the name.
I'm going to just send an email to someone after this podcast and say, I think we need to change it.
We've got terms we're confused by.
All right, I'll give you one.
Hit me one.
Let's see. Again, mine aren't as specific. All right. Golfers with veneers. I spend so much time wondering who's got them. Some of them are obvious. We know Brooks has them, and I'll go.
How do you know that though? Like, how do you know Brooks has them?
Because I am insane and I pay attention to these things. And then what I will do when I start thinking their teeth look different, I go on Getty and I go back like 40 pages of images. And I'm like, his teeth were different at the 2016, this, whatever.
Do you think golf.com is happy that you're using your Getty subscription to go dive into, do they have veneers or not? And trust me, when I had a Getty subscription, I would use it for similar things.
Oh my God. I'm like flacking. I'm like I call them tusks. I'm like, they look different this week, guys. He did something. And they're like, Claire, we don't care. And I'm like, no. So here's why no has them for sure.
Okay,
and again, if you are winning, do whatever you
want. Of course.
Want. Get
of course.
Botox. I'm a spray tan girl. If I were winning majors, I would be getting those. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see who definitely has them. Brooks was the OG. DJ.
So you're 100% convinced these people have veneers.
No, it's not even convinced. This is fact.
Okay.
Fleetwood just got them.
Okay.
Here's a guy who got them, but they're like not as flashy.
Okay.
Justin Thomas, and he got them when he, what was the match that he was like broadcasting?
The commentating. I think maybe it was the quarterback when they all kind of mesh together at this point.
He had just gotten them. And it was very slight because he went to like more of a natural, not like the guys in Jupiter who are getting these like flashy teeth. There's a TikTok account of this lady who goes through. She thinks Rory has them.
So you're not convinced. You're not 100%
convinced?
I'm
not convinced Rory does, but she thinks he does. But
so this is like the maybe list. This is the maybe list. Okay.
The maybe list. But those ones like Fleetwood, DJ, Brooks, positive. And I'm going to send you photos after this and you will compare.
Yeah.
And
I was going to ask you, how can you tell? I guess that's my next question is, how are you convinced or how can you tell? How does Bryson not have them? I feel like that's such a Bryson thing.
Bryson is doing, what's the clear thing?
Invisalign.
He's doing Invisalign. And again, I'm positive about that. but yeah. And like, that was kind of a question I had when Fitzpatrick went braces. I was like, oh, that's interesting that he did that. I respect it. It's just a longer, but like veneers come with all this stuff. Like you gotta insure them, and then you might have to get them replaced in 10 years. I've done a lot of research because I'm so interested in them.
So but this, by the way, this, can I just bring this is like a tangent here. I was just hanging out in Richmond with some of the crew from my Octagon crew that represents me, and Samantha Marks, who I know you know, and who a lot of people on that listen here follow her on social media, and she's really funny and really creative, but she makes these long lists on her iPhone. And one of the lists, it was something to like the tune of, how is this still like this thing? Like, how have we not evolved it? And it was casts. We still like, you still lay, like, how are we not better at cast? And my thing is braces. Braces are, we do metal in your mouth. Like,
so
I know
bad.
Invisalign is obviously a new age braces, but braces were like, well, like probably had a 70-year lifespan, if not longer, that was what you did. Like, you were a
young
person.
And they still do it.
They still do it, but you had a young person go to the dentist and they had to like put this metal cage in your face for years during your formidable time. Like when you want to be the cutest and the hottest and you have to have this shit in your mouth, it's awful. And so
your self-confidence is
so shot. Like you're going through acne and you're growing and you look awkward and things are changing in your body. And you got this like, just like, what the hell? Why do we do this to people?
Or if you break your collarbone, there's nothing you can do. So you can't put a cast on your collarbone.
Right. You're just,
it's a sling. They're like, just sit still for 8 weeks. I'm like, perfect.
I think of Gary Player's massive engraving on the claret jug a lot. I think about how, you know, when they used to give it to the player to get it engraved, the fact that he thought that he needed to do that and then went and did it. And that nobody like changed it or plastered, you know, did something over it. I honestly probably think about that once a month.
I think that was the intention there, right?
For sure, for sure, for sure. But but again, like to think about you being obviously a great golfer, you know, one of the few players ever that have done the career Grand Slam. Your name is after some of like the most legendary people on the most legendary trophy in our game. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to go 16 font on this bad boy. Like 12. 12, all you guys with 12, that's fine. But like, I'm up at it.
Cute. So
I think about that a lot.
And like, I would be scared of getting in trouble. I'm just constantly thinking I'm breaking rules. I could never, ever do that.
No, you'd be you'd be self-conscious. You would also be self-aware, which I think probably is something maybe a lot of professional golfers are not, but that's one of mine. I just feel like I think about the massive Gary Player on the claret jug a lot.
All right, Anthony Kim.
I've got a couple Anthony Kim ones as well.
Like, I know there's been like, who is it, Adam Schreiber that he works with or whatever. You'll see him every once in a while. I think he's living in Vegas, but like this man has gone to the grocery store.
Crazy.
He's, you know, all these things that he's done just normally since we've last heard from him and we're missing out on it.
Like a decade, Claire. Like a decade of him, if not longer, of him doing all of these things. And I think we have like two sneaky photos of him in like 12 years.
He must. All right. This is going to be a bad comparison, but I'm going to make it anyways.
I'm into it. Let's go. Right. Here we go. I like, by the way, nothing like prefacing a bad take. This take might suck. Here we go.
Because I guarantee maybe 2% of the people listen to this have seen the Hannah Montana movie, but she tells this town that she's Hannah Montana. And then she's like, oh my God, I regret doing that. I can't be Hannah Montana anymore. And they all are like, we'll keep your secret. Don't worry about it. And I think he's probably told everyone in whatever town he's living in, you do not take a photo of me. You don't like, unless he's truly in hiding, but I don't think that's the case. I think like his crew knows this is not a public thing.
Yeah.
That's what, because there's just no way we would see him. Think about like when Phil was gone for 6 months or however long, like we still got sightings of Phil.
Yep. So, iPhone pictures, he had the beard, you know, I remember one was floating around, people thought he'd gained some weight, like Phil in the wild. And again, this is a guy that was probably trying to hide out in a way, right? I mean, Anthony Kim, I'm assuming is just living life day to day. Like nobody's at Taco Cabana in Dallas and sees him and takes a pic, or like you said, he's at Whole Foods and you're just like, oh my God, that's like one of the most like forgotten, like unknown, you know, I mean, this guy's the Loch Ness monster of golf. And yet, we feel like I never see him. My Anthony Kim thing is, and I've thought about this a decent amount, and I think about it every Ryder Cup, is we missed out on Anthony Kim on the American Ryder Cup and Rory on the European Ryder Cup by one Ryder Cup. So Anthony Kim played on the 08 team, and Rory's first Ryder Cup was 2010. That would have been a lot of fun. Everybody would have been asking for those two to go at it in singles. I feel like, you know, Anthony Kim is so much of what, you know, like we've wanted so much from these young players because of like how confident and how brash and how excited Anthony Kim was. And so that would have been like epic. You know, I mean, you think about Patrick Reed and all that stuff and him at the Ryder Cup, but so close to having AK and Rory, you know, young versions of them on the Ryder Cup would have been awesome.
I've never put that together. I like that. Now I'm going to start thinking of that one too. Just missed it.
Yeah. I mean, it just, again, you think about head to head, like when you think about these team events, especially Ryder Cups, obviously, because the Ryder Cup trumps all. And I always think about like prime players playing against each other. Like we need to see Spieth versus Rory, you know, at some capacity, you know, you want JT versus Rory. Like now you've got the new age, super young guys that are great. Like, I'm sure there's like a Scheffler versus Rahm 2.0 thing that everybody is pining for and hopes to see at the Ryder Cup, because, you know, eventually those guys are going to be out of their prime and it's not as wanted as much as we wanted. So that's my AK thing. What do you got next?
It's the aging of golfers.
Okay.
It makes me really sad.
give me an example. Like, give me a player that as you see them, you think, damn, they're not blank age anymore.
Tiger, like.
No, he's the guy.
Well, I just think, like, one day he's going to be 65. And that makes me so sad. Like,
so weird to think about.
Yeah, or I just think of, like, Gary Player's, what, 87? Like, I never knew him when he was in his, you know, prime. It's just weird to think, like, I'm going to have kids one day and they're not going to get to see Tiger Woods, like, win the Masters. And I'll have to tell them. I think of my parents telling me stories. Oh, this guy was so good at whatever sport. And I'm like, yeah, right. Okay. I don't really care. Like, stop talking about this. I don't care. It just makes me sad. Like, it's just, and you know, a big thing I think about is I never met Arnold Palmer.
Right.
And I can't let that happen with other players because I'll just be too sad about it.
This is like, Federer, like my big miss in life was I never saw Federer play tennis live professionally. And like, now he's done. So I just missed that. And that stinks. Like, I've watched every Federer match ever, but to see him live, like, I will not allow my children to miss out on seeing their quote unquote heroes or their sporting heroes in person. Like, if they are obsessed with Steph Curry, if like Henry's obsessed with Steph Curry in a couple of years, we're going to a Warriors game, no matter the price or how hard it is to get a ticket, because I want him to have seen the person that he's going to buy the jerseys for and buy the shoes of in human form. And to your point, a lot of young people are probably never going to see Tiger actually competitive in a golf tournament.
Yeah, that makes me so sad. My little sister is only 10 and she's like, Claire, I don't know. Like, I'm not following this. And I'm like, who's going to be in when you are into it in 10 years? You know, it's just weird.
I'm going to sprinkle in some responses we got on social as we kind of put ours out there. Blair Thomas posted one I thought was really smart and I'd never thought about. Now I'll be thinking about that. That's kind of the point of this exercise. He said the 2009 major season was 8 strokes away from being Kenny Perry at Augusta, which would have been awesome. Of course, he finished bogey. Phil's U.S. Open breakthrough in 2009. Tom Watson's miracle at Troon. And Tiger with another major championship. And instead, we got Cabrera, Glover, Sink, and Wai Yang. 8 shots away, Claire, from those storylines being the earlier ones versus what we actually got is wild to think about.
Yeah. Oh, my God. People are so, like, how did he even figure that out? I don't know. I love it, though, that this person is, it shows that people are really thinking about random things.
People think about this. All right, hit me with one of yours.
I didn't write down who said it, but the 2016 Masters green jacket ceremony in Butler Cabin, I think about a lot with, you know, Jordan standing in the back.
Had to give the jacket to Willett and did it gracefully. I mean, I know it was frustrated, but like he was in there. I mean, I always think like if it wasn't Jordan and it was Brooks or Patrick or name another person that can be a little salty, what that situation would have looked like.
But those screenshots of him just standing in the back, like that's got to be one of the most difficult moments of his life.
Well, I mean, the 16 Masters I think about, I just pretty much probably think about too often, right? In general, like the last, you know, basically those last like 11 holes is just, you just were like, okay, this guy's going to win another one. Like, and Jordan's only got one green jacket. Like, I think about that a lot. As much as he's been in the hunt and as competitive as he's been at Augusta, like he's quote unquote only won one. And like maybe he's only going to win one his entire career.
No, we can't say that. But maybe.
I mean, I would say if you were like truly weighing it out, this is like one of my big takes on like, and it's sad, but Rory winning at St. Andrews, right? Like Rory's going to be almost 40 years old the next time the Open is at the old course. Like, he probably missed his window. You know, like
that's the aging of golfers.
Yes,
it's sad if we could just freeze them and then we'd be good.
Freeze them. So the off season's now going to be chambers. Like you go in your chamber and
like
you chill
Williams.
Out. That's right. We're gonna Ted Williams active golfers. I had a good one from another person, David. I don't want to even attempt your last name, but he said I'm always wondering what the TSA folks are looking for when they open my travel bag and drop the slip in there saying my bag was inspected. I just went through this, Claire. I had all of the pockets were left unzipped. Now that's annoying. I mean, golf tees are everywhere. Stuff falls, you know, ball marker stuff falls out of your bag. But yeah, like What are you looking for? And when you do the irons, like, have you ever had that clear where they pull the irons out and you can tell they're in different slots?
I hear this all the time. To be fair, I probably only traveled to my clubs 10 times, which compared to you is like nothing. My club, everything's perfect. I'm like, they must like me or something. They put everything right back. But that would drive me insane because I get there. I'm super organized. I don't know what they're looking for. It's probably some guy who loves golf. He's like, let me just see what this guy's playing these days.
Now, that's my next question is, I hope this happens, but do you think they're like pulling them out and doing like the PGA Tour Superstore where they're kind of eyeing them? Like, well, these kind of look good. Like, these are sweet. You know, these irons, like, these Vokey wedges are great. You know, are they doing that? Because I hope they're doing that versus just pulling them out, re-slotting them back in the bag and send it off its way.
No, they're definitely like rolling a couple putts on the
outside on the tarmac. They have a putting mat. I hope they do. These are the things I hope happens. Like, I hope somebody from the TSA has used my putter at some point.
Yes. I wish there were a way to figure that out, but it's a mystery.
Yeah. Hit me with something.
Someone said the defense in golf is earth.
Oh my God. I have that one down. Let me find who said it because it was one of my favorite responses. The defense of golf is earth. Like, I've never thought about that.
No,
have you ever
neither.
Thought about it that way?
No.
Such an amazing thing. I'm trying to find this right now. Such an amazing take. And sorry, I can't find it. Whoever said that, we apologize, but an amazing, amazing take. And we'll find your response at some point. But yeah, like the defense, like, the best defender and the only defender in our sport is Mother Nature. Like, all of the defense is just our earth. It's like natural defense.
Which almost makes it sad because think of basketball players. They actually have, you know, or like what any other sport actually has a defense. And here it's like, it was grass and you couldn't figure it out. Nice job.
Yeah, and then think about other sports and when elements are in play. Like, think about football when it snows or it's cold, or you think about tennis, like a big tennis match when it's windy. And it's like the only thing they talk about the entire match. And you're like, no. Like, this is like golf all the time. Like, this is the only thing that matters. And then there are days when Earth's just like, yo, taking the day off. It's 70 with no wind. Go out and go
rain
low.
Yesterday, rolling slow. Yeah,
I'm out rain and wind yesterday. You're good. But yes, our main and only defense is earth in this sport. That is a mind-blowing situation. Do you have one? Oh, I've got one for you. This is something maybe I think you're going to really like this one. The company Buick.
Yes.
Built, manufactured, made, assembled, and sold a car that they put together and built that had a side door for golf clubs simply because they had a sponsorship with Tiger. A vehicle that had a golf club spot in it just because of their deal with Tiger is mind-blowing, and I think about it very, very often.
Wait, I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was
Did
like
people a, drive this? Or was I, it like, you know oh, what? They made it?
I don't think it was a big hit, Claire. I don't think it was like made it. I don't think a lot of people bought it, but there was like a side compartment door that you would slide your clubs in, like a larger gas tank hole, if you will.
Wait, it went in like, oh my God.
The side of the car. It was a small little vehicle. Like, it was kind of like a puny little car, which is funny because Tiger was like this massive, bigger than life, strong, jacked guy. You'd think his car would be like manly, an SUV. No. This was like a little sports car, and it had a third door for your golf clubs.
Did it fit a tour bag or was it more like a Sunday bag situation?
I'm hoping that it fit a tour bag because it was for Tiger, but
yeah,
I mean, I never saw it in action. Like, I never
should I ask for that for Christmas?
like that and Gatorade Tiger. I think a lot about, I do think about Gatorade Tiger a decent amount. The purple Gatorade Tiger was bomb.
Oh, see, I hate all things purple, like grape flavored, the blue and the red was good.
I was in high school when these came out, Claire. And do you think I didn't bring a Gatorade Tiger to every tournament I played in? I did, obviously. Obviously.
You like saved it and just refilled it with water because you wanted to keep using
Tigers,
it.
Tigers. If Tiger drinks this, then I obviously have to drink it. I mean,
now it's just Monster.
Now it's just Monster. I'm going to get into a Monster thing in a bit on Tiger. But yeah, the Buick car and Gatorade Tiger, I probably think too often about.
All right. My next one is someone, again, sorry, I should have looked at who was saying these. Magnetic ball markers like on your hat. He said that we see that in a lot of women using that, but I've never seen a guy use it. And I started thinking about it. It's probably because of the whole pocket situation, but they are very convenient. And I would encourage any men listening to this to try it out because I guess I don't know, you're just digging through your pockets. You have ball markers, you have divot repair tool, you have, I don't know, what else? Tees, all this stuff that's
Yeah,
hard to
pencil.
find.
I mean, it's funny because I read it and I was same thing as you thought. I was thinking the same thing. A, it's pockets, but B, I was kind of nodding along like, this is kind of weird that no male golfer has just been like, you know what? Or like with the way we're making pants and manufacturing pants and how many new brands are in the game, I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of jogger company that doesn't allow pockets or doesn't have pockets on their pants. And if there's a sponsorship there, they're going to have to go with a ball marker. But it is surprising that not one guy out there is just like, this is pretty easy. Like this move, boom, pretty simple.
I want Tom Kim to be the first to do it.
What, you know
So
what? If I, okay, here's the thing. Let's play a game. First person to have a conversation with Tom Kim has to bring it up to him. You and I have to do that, okay?
right.
And you know what?
Perfect.
If he's cool about videoing it, let's video it and we'll post it on social. Say this came from a podcast we had, but we want to ask you, we want you to be the first. Can you start
Yes.
this in the on the male side of golf? One of probably the top things on my list. I've thought about this for years, almost 2 decades, Claire, now. I've thought about this. The playoff in 2000 at the PGA, Tiger hit it. A mile left on 18 of Valhalla against Bob May. The ball disappeared, disappeared, disappeared. Then came shooting back, bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. I am 1,000% convinced, much like you with veneers, that somebody threw the ball back, convinced about it. I want somebody to do a deep dive and find the person that did it. It's like my golf grassy knoll thing. Like there, somebody threw the ball back in play so Tiger could get it back into play and win that PGA Championship. So I'm convinced of that, and I also think about that a lot.
Okay, two Rory things. And I know he doesn't like when people talk about this, but the ripped shirt last year
Yeah.
and him throwing his 3-wood at, was it Liberty National? Like,
Okay.
you see that he like threw it into the woods or something and then it
Okay.
disappeared. And I feel like Rory is this spokesman of the game and all this stuff. I'm always like, I want to see him throw a temper tantrum. Like, I don't know. We've seen like the aftermath with the shirt and stuff, but I've never seen him like really. I don't know. I guess we've seen him pissed, but not where he does like stupid things. You just kind of see it or hear about it after. And I would like to see that. We've seen like, Rom will do something and then immediately afterwards have to be like, sorry guys, I didn't
Right,
do
right,
that.
right.
I love Rory, but I want him to prove that he's human and just have a little slip up. So I think
So,
about that sometimes.
because his meltdowns, to your point, his meltdowns are ripped shirt. We didn't see him rip the shirt. And
Yes.
like throwing two clubs, like the Doral iron. Remember when he threw it in the water? And then I think it was
Yes.
like,
Oh, yeah, we did see that actually.
Trump went and got the iron,
Yeah.
remember? And like presented it to him on the range. So awkward. But that like we've seen him get mad in that capacity. But that anger is like throwing the club. He's not, like you said, he's not like losing his shit and yelling at Harry, right? Like that would
Yes.
be great to see it in some way, is like just him completely losing it on the golf course.
Yes. Snap it over his knee or something.
I've got a Rory thing. Does Rory win the 18 Masters if Nike makes him a different shirt than Patrick Reed? And so he isn't wearing that half zip all day long. I think about that a lot because it was like a warm day at Augusta and he was wearing that white half zip because if he took it off, then him and Patrick are basically going to be matching. And I know Rory probably didn't want to be matching Patrick Reed in the same pairing. So I think about that a decent amount. Like if he just had a blue shirt on, does he win that Masters?
All right. He could, yeah.
He could have.
Let's see what else. Okay, Victor Hovland.
Okay.
I think of Victor as a little brother on the PGA
Okay.
Tour. I think everybody loves him. He's great. But who is he hanging out with now that Wolf's gone? I
Like
don't know.
who are his buddies?
Yeah, we're his pals. We know that, like, we've got Sam Burns and Scheffler, we've got JT and Spieth, we've got JT and Tiger. I could see him just like going into media or not media player dining and everyone being like, oh, come sit with us. But like, who's his favorite person to sit with at lunch?
Listen, I'm throwing a name out we just mentioned. I feel like he and Tom Kim could hit it off. Like I feel like they could be
Oh,
buddies.
yeah. Just like
Chill,
silly pals.
easygoing, have some fun, have some laughs. Feel like
Yeah.
they like they'd go get dinner at a nice place and like neither would order an alcoholic beverage. Like I feel
No.
like they just both get Diet Coke, you know?
Bed by 9 p.m.
Yeah. Like just like we had a great walk by on the range. Like that was so much fun last night. Like love you, Tom. Play well. Like I could see Victor coming out and watching on 18 if like Tom's got a chance to win, vice versa.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be buds. Like I'd like to see that.
I would like to see that too. I wish I could be fly on the wall.
Mention this to Tom as well. Mention that, hey, Tom, we've got a few things we've got on a list.
Got a friend for you. I think I could hit it off with this guy. All right, what do you got next?
This was from @ClubhouseLead on Twitter. No one talks enough about how casually Sam mentioned Tiger dressed as Batman at Comic-Con during his Hall of Fame speech. You know what? It's a really great point. It's a really great point. Tiger Woods went to Comic-Con dressed as Batman, and we just kind of glossed out. Like, everybody just was like, cool. Cool.
No, I wrote about it in Normal Sport too, because what was, yeah, well, we just accepted that for what it was. I'm also wondering, like, did people know it was him?
Well, I think that's the point of it, is like, he gets to go to something public and not be seen and known, right? I mean, imagine if you're Tiger Woods, who is probably still a top 20 most famous person on planet Earth, like, he can't go anywhere without everybody knowing who he is. So that's like the lone opportunity of going somewhere and not being recognized. So he probably loved it, but still just hilarious that he would. I mean, he lives in Florida. Comic-Con, yeah. I believe, is in San Diego. So like, this was like a plan, you know, like, this wasn't, hey, you want to go to this thing? Cool. Yeah. Somebody will get me an outfit. Like, this was like, all right, guys, on Wednesday, I'm flying to San Diego for Comic-Con. Mark, did you buy my Batman outfit? Like, are you sending it there, or am I taking it on the plane? Right.
Oh yeah. It's kind of like, we've had the conversation about Mac Daddy Santa.
Yeah.
Some things, like, I'm fine with just picturing him in a red jacket, a red shirt on Sunday afternoons. Like, I'm like, that is crazy. But it does show he'll go and do anything for his kids. But I'm like, oh my God.
That's one of my favorite responses we got. And it's just so true. Do you have one yourself that you noted?
About Tiger or no?
No, just about anything.
All right. Let's see. Adam Scott.
Okay.
A few things about Adam Scott that we need to discuss.
Okay.
And this is not me being like a girl for the listeners. We're like, oh, everyone knows that Adam Scott is good looking.
Yep. I mean, you and I were texting the other day, and I think I said, is Adam Scott the hottest golfer ever? Like, everybody knows he's hot. Everybody knows he's attractive. This is a big guy thing where guys don't want to talk about this, but like, yeah, guys know when
Call
guys spade are attractive.
A spade, guys.
I mean, let's not be stupid here. Like, everybody knows Adam Scott is a very attractive human being.
Okay. But this is just like, he has purposely stacked the cards against himself, because I think it's almost a bit like the beige, whatever, but this pants, he still wears the pants. What decade is that from? Like the trouser know. That's
it's
wide.
Like the 20s or 30s maybe. I mean, yeah, it's so far ago.
Right. The putter, everything. It's almost like he's trying to make himself less hot.
Right.
And it's just not working. So I want to bring him to a stylist or something, because nothing gets Uniqlo, because they have stuff. He just picks the stuff that he likes, I guess, whatever. But if we got him in a really well-fitting outfit, like, I think Dustin has great pants that he wears.
Yeah, or like Sam Ryder always just looks like super good in his outfits.
Yes. Keith Mitchell, I think, also looks great.
Yeah.
Would he, like, does he do that because he doesn't want to be too perfect out on the course? I don't think that's what it is, but there's something there where I'm like, let's make him have everything right and then see how good he is. It's like your full potential. If you have like your makeup done, your hair done, everything done, he always does that minus one. So we've never seen him at his full potential, and I want to see him at his full potential.
Like, so right now, I mean, Adam Scott's probably in his 40s and he's kind of, you know, he's graying a bit, but it plays, obviously. Like,
yeah,
he looks great with the gray. When he was younger, when he would wear, I think he was sponsored by Burberry when he won like the Players and stuff, which was like, again, even those outfits would just have like one slightly weird thing. Like, it would be a cool outfit, but then the collar would have the like the Burberry look to it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man, so close, you know? And then he also had the mop at the time, which I think he looks a lot better with the short hair. And I mean, this is a guy that does aim point, going back to our first point. This is a guy that uses the long putter that takes a little bit away in terms of his sexiness as a golfer. And then the outfits are ridiculous and absolutely crazy that he actually wears this stuff and thinks he looks good, even though I'm kind of on the team beige thing. But yeah, like, if Adam Scott one day was like, you know what, for a month, I'm just going like full hot Adam Scott guy.
Yes.
Like, maybe he wins like two events that month.
I'd say we've seen him at like 85% of his best. And I have a take. I'm like, you never want to look 100% unless it's your wedding day, because you always want to leave.
That's a great point.
You could be a little bit better, you know? but I need to see him at 100.
Yeah, well, this is my dating app theory that I've had forever, is I've never understood why people on dating apps post their best picture as their main profile pic, because you're inevitably setting somebody up to be disappointed. You want to have your profile pic on a dating app be a 7 out of 10. Like, you want to look good, not great. You want to look normal. You want to look how you look every day. And so if you are going out on a date and you're meeting somebody, to your point, Claire, you got makeup done, you got your hair done, like, you're going to look better than that picture. So when they show up, they go, oh my God, like, make it an honest look at who you are on a day-to-day basis, maybe slightly better than you're looking on an everyday base. Because again, you're going to go out on a date and look better than that in theory. I've never understood why profile pics would be like 10 out of 10.
Yes. Okay. So high school prom, I used to call it tapering week. Monday, you go to school, you look fine. You start to look a little bit worse every day.
Interesting. Smart.
By Friday, you're the ugliest creature anyone has ever seen in their life. Saturday's prom, it is like 0 to 100.
Oh,
that's how
God,
you have to do
so
it.
This is so good.
I know.
You know what? You know what, Amanda? Let's cut this as a social bit. I love this. I want this cut, and we're going to circulate this. Everybody's like, I thought this was a golf podcast. Like, nah, adjacently golf at times. It's
well, maybe that's like a golf thing too. Taper week, right? If you have a big match,
you've got or maybe a golf trip. Maybe like before your golf trip and you're excited about your new outfits, maybe every round before the golf trip, you're wearing like the outdated shirt, or it's too baggy, it's ill-fitting, you know.
Orange head to toe.
Yeah, like you're going full Ricky. You know what's interesting, Claire, about this take on Adam Scott? Because I've never really thought about it, and you're bringing up a great point. I'm kind of surprised he's never gone bucket hat. Like, it just feels like, like if you're going to continually throw in these wrenches to your look, I'm surprised he's never been like, I will say this. I did a Titleist shoot with Adam Scott a few years ago, and he walked up. There was a table of all these hats that the guys, like new Titleist hats, because they want the guys to look fresh, right? They want them to have a clean Titleist hat in the shoot. So, I mean, you've got rope hat and you've got dad hat and you've got flat hat, fitted hat, whatever. And Adam Scott walks up. I think Ian Poulter was by us, and there was a rope hat, like a tall rope hat. And Adam goes, oh, I don't look good in these. And I'm standing there and I looked at him. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, you look good in everything. And Ian's kind of laughing, like laughed at what I said. And he put it on. And I looked at him and I was like, you know what? You don't look that good in it. Like, you're actually right. Like, it doesn't, like, your head is too small for that hat. And like, we all got a good kick out of it. But it was like, Adam Scott was, he said before, he goes, I can't wear that.
Knows his strength. So that's good, because you could have sabotaged him. You could have been like, oh, it looks great.
wear that all the time. I've got one for you, Claire. This is a little in the weeds golfy, but I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. A lot of time thinking about years. Basically, since I was an adult golf fan. Nick Faldo has won 3 Masters, okay? 3 green jackets. He won 3 green jackets, 89, 90, 96. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not sure you're going to believe me, but it's factual.
Okay.
Going into the final round in his 3 Masters wins, he trailed the leader by a combined 14 shots in his 3 Masters wins. In 89, he was 5 back going into the final round, 5 back, shot 65 and wanted a playoff when Scott Hoke missed the little putt, okay? In 90, he was 3 back going into the final round, shoots 69, and Floyd rinsed it on 11. Everybody was surprised because, you know, Floyd was so clutch, hits in the water and basically hands the playoff to Faldo. And then in 96, everybody knows he was 6 back, obviously, of Norman, and shoots. I think he shot 67 and wins. But this is a guy, you think about how many close calls, like think about how many close calls Rory's had at Augusta, and, you know, like Phil leading into 04. He'd been so close so often. Ernie, Weisskopf, these players that were so good that never won green jackets. To tell them that this guy has 3 and he was 14 back going into the final round of his 3 Masters wins, I think about that a lot. And like, you have to play well. 65, 69, 67 is nothing, obviously, to bat your eyes at. But to have 3 instances where someone either choked, hit an awful golf shot, or completely fell apart, and it all happened when you were in contention and went on to win, is so rare and so crazy that this guy has 3 green jackets because of that. So something, again, in the weeds, I think a lot about.
Yeah, I didn't know that, because I was just, I guess, what, 1 when he won his last one? But it's... like that, but also I feel like that could only happen at Augusta, right?
Yeah.
Because it's always the back nine on Sunday. Something happens, someone falls apart. But I think it says more that he was right there and able to do it. Because I think most of the time someone's going to fall apart on Sunday there. We see that all the time.
One person's going to have a tough day. To have it happen kind of to the leaders, either in regulation or in a playoff, And you're the beneficiary of that is so wild. And you're the same beneficiary of it, right? Like you're the person.
Yeah.
And to think about like an Ernie who just like, Ernie just doesn't need Phil to shoot like 31 on the back, you know? And it's like, yeah. I'm going to win a green jacket. I played great. And he didn't have it happen, you know, and to have those opportunities to do it. Like Goosen was a guy that was close so often and just never had it happen. Do you have another one yourself?
Let's see.
I've got a short one that somebody submitted. If you're looking for one, I mean, this is like, I don't need a ton of reaction in terms of what you think, but I just, okay. it's something that is a great point to be brought up. At Long Walk W Putter said, why do we call closest to the pin KPs? I've thought a lot about that in my life. I don't understand it. It makes absolutely no sense, but closest to the pin is KP is really dumb and only in golf.
Okay. Well, that's like in journalism, like TK to come, like it, do you know this, if you're writing like as a journalist, but okay. So if I'm writing something and I don't know what I'm going to put, like people say this and TK.
Gotcha.
And for so long, because I didn't go to journalism school and like all my coworkers, and I'm like, yeah, TK.
That's yeah, got it.
I'm like, Googling
Tom Cam, what does that mean?
Yeah. But it means to come. So like, it'll be entered here. And then at the end of things, you'll do like 30, like, you know, it press releases. And for so long, I was like, I don't know what this is. And I'm just pretending I know. And it doesn't make sense. But you just kind of have to go along with it, I guess. And then, okay, my last one is not really a take. Well, it is kind of a take, but not really for the masses. But as a media person going to events, I hear a lot of times people are like, oh, it's a pain to work from the media center. I love the media center. It's like going to high school reunion. You see everyone you know. It's like, and this is not to say I'm not getting any work done, but it is like you see there's these main characters that are always there. It could be an episode of The Office, I think.
For sure.
You just got all these golf nerds. And a lot of people don't like it. And, you know, there's some places you go and the media center is not as great as the other, but like US Open, Riviera, the players, it is the most fun I've ever had. I love going to the media center and I look forward to it as if I'm going to Disney World. Not even the event itself, it's the media center for me because it's so fun to go hang out with everybody. You know, Ryan Lavner, Doug Ferguson, you get to say hi to everybody. You're on a little tour. I think it's the best thing ever, but I think that's a rare take in golf media.
I will say about the media center is a very underrated part about golf tournaments is the media center because it's like 24/7 snacks and drinks, which is amazing. You
yep.
can always eat and like just go walk around. And if you ever have any golf question about anything ever, it's just like, it's, you know, pick your own adventure. Like, do I go ask Shackelford this? Do I go ask Rappaport this? Like, is Porath over there? You know?
Yeah. Rappaport's always got sunscreen. I'm like, I'm not bringing sunscreen to an event because he has 5 things of SPF on his desk. So I'm good to go. It's good to know things like that too when you're packing, right? I'm like, oh,
yes.
I don't need it. We're good.
I mean, I don't know if I would go as far as to say I love the media center, but I totally get your point. We had a great submission from Jack Ryder. He said, how did he ever think this hat was a good idea? And he's talking about Jesper Parnevik, you know, who had the flip up bill. I mean, the whole point of
what
bill,
is that
to shade your face. I mean, he had Upper Deck, the baseball card company, sponsor his under his hat for years. When he would play in Ryder Cups, they would make one of the Ryder Cup hats that flipped up just for Jesper. Like, I guess he said he did it once in practice and it like, he made a lot of putts or hit it good. And then he just kept doing it. But like at one point, a little bit like with the Bryson hat at one point, aren't you just like, you know what guys, like I'm going to just flip it down. Like I'm just going to put
also,
it.
If that's allowed, I think backward hats should be allowed.
Yes. Also the bill, like I'm looking at a picture of Jesper right now online and like he looks, and I apologize for the language here, but it's the only way to say it, Claire. He looks fucking ridiculous. Like,
yeah. Wait, looks, how does it work? Does the brim, like, is it like,
well, I think,
or
I think
like
so. Let me just see. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I mean, this will pop down in a second. There you go. But like,
yeah,
it's like in theory, he popped it up, but then they just started making hats that were like small bills up already. But like, of all the golf looks in all the world of all time ever, it is just insanity that that's one of them.
There's no need to reinvent the wheel. You know, a hat is a hat. Let's just let it be a hat.
A hat is a hat. Craig DeVries said, Why do the Brits call a pairing in a game? These guys aren't playing each other. They're playing against the field. Can't these people speak English? Which I love. Just the final take is just like slamming the language that they invented. But yeah, it's a game. But yeah, I mean, it's you're. I don't know. I mean, I guess like you're going out to have a game.
But you're not having I kind of like it though.
I mean, I like it too.
It's fancy.
I don't want it to go away. But yeah. I guess in terms of the definition of the term. I guess you could probably overthink that a little bit if you really wanted to.
Yeah, that's true.
I think about this a lot when I'm playing golf, Claire, is, and I'm so bad at this, and I've tried so hard to be better at this, but it's something that I truly can't break. I obsess over what club is the right club to hit on a golf shot. These clubs are like 3 degrees different. Like how it can be so different between an 8-iron and a 7-iron in terms of distance it flies, trajectory it goes, when like they're incrementally different, and how you can be convinced that one is right and one is wrong when they're that close to being the same thing is so wild. And the fact that it actually matters is wild to me too. But that is one thing I think I probably spend a little bit too much time thinking about.
Okay. On that kind of note, more like golf course related, something that I think about is the friends that we have who pretend to care when you take them through every single shot you hit in a round.
Oh, God love
them.
My mom, my wife.
Shout out.
Give them a shout out, Claire. Give them a shout out. Do you have one in your, do you have a person in mind that you feel like you dump this on the most?
My little brother, Brendan.
Is he a golfer?
Yes. But okay. He's a lot better than I, like, and I'm like, all right, I hit it here. I hit this. And then I'm like, has he even played the course that I'm talking about? You know, but our home course, I can do it all the time. But I will go exactly through. And we actually had to start a rule at my house because my stepmom and my sister are not golfers. And it wasn't fair that we were taking the whole dinner, you know, to go through every shot we've hit. So, and my sister will get up and leave the table. She's like, this is horrible. This is torture. So like Thanksgiving, it's always like, all right, this is a golf-free meal. We're not talking about it because I'll just get so into it. But it is important to have friends who I don't think they care, to be completely honest.
They definitely don't care, but that's like, but I mean, a friend really, the definition of a friend is like, is that right? A friend is someone that will listen to your dumb stuff or will console you when you're going through something that they know is silly. And they're like, they're kind of there for the excess, you know, like a friend is kind of there for when you're cutting, like if you're cutting like a star for like the holidays out and the excess falls on the ground, like they're there to like pick that up and put it in the trash for you.
Yes.
They're like your sounding board.
If someone ran a marathon, something that they trained for months, they don't do it as often as one plays golf. I don't want to hear about every mile that they ran, you know, like tell me about that finishing stretch and that's, we're good.
So. Mile 4, I started cramping, you know, you're like, yeah, I had this like weird lie on 4. I mean, like I've said this a lot, like my mom, like we should start golf awards for parents and for friends that like put up with all the bullshit and like never complain about it.
You know, because they're angels.
My mom is not a golfer. Like I've seen my mom swing golf club like 4 times in my entire life. And I think 3 of the 4 were at Topgolf. Like she is not a golfer. She went to every golf tournament. She would follow along. She would keep score in a little scorecard. And she would listen to me and my dad do that on the way home for 3 hours and like wouldn't get annoyed by it. Like what a saint
that's
she
love.
Is.
Yeah.
That's love. Joe Mayberry said how we will literally never hit the same shot twice. The wind, turf, temperature, playing partners, hole location, etc., are never the exact same. So basically every golf shot we ever hit that has ever been hit in the history of golf is its own snowflake. Is pretty wild to think about.
That is wild. That reminds me of, I think Foreplay put it out. Someone said, are you ever on a course and you wonder, has anyone stepped in this exact spot before? And if I hit a lot of errant shots, so I think sometimes the answer is that I am like a pioneer.
You're the only one there. You're the only person
Lewis
that's
and Clark,
shot
I'm leading
has
the way.
Ended in here. Well, like that's like, again, kind of going back to things we think about in golf. It's like the move in your mark and like how often you have to do that to think about how bananas that is, that my mark is in your way when this green is massive and there's so many ways to come in, yet at least once or twice around, somebody's moving a mark. Is a pretty wild thing to think about.
Yeah. Especially with average golfers, right?
Yeah.
It
right.
makes more sense for like the best, the pros all, but when it's like me and my friend or something, how did that happen?
So crazy. I'm going to rattle off a few I have here and stop me if you have any comments on it.
Okay.
I think about what would have happened. I think about this a lot. What would have happened if Michelle makes the cut in Texas on the PGA Tour? Like, where her career would have gone, what would have happened, how things would have played out. You know, I mean, she was close, played well. She was so young. What would have happened if Rory would have married Caroline Wozniacki? I think about a decent amount. I mean, that was kind of like peak Rory when he was in that world. He was winning a ton of majors. Just like, is he?
I think about that a lot too. I'm kind of glad you brought that up.
Is he like edgier and like wins more? Is he less likable? Is he the same guy we see today where, you know, you have people that are like, I would vote this guy for president if he was American, right? Like, what would have happened there? I think about the Monster sponsorship with Tiger a lot. Like, has he had a Monster? If he's had one or if he likes them, what's his favorite? You know, this guy was so
healthy.
Have you had one? I was a big Red Bull guy in my 20s. I drank a lot of Red Bull. It's probably parts of my body that have been affected from that consumption. But I tried to sneak into the Monster post-Red Bull for a bit. Never, they were a little too big. I thought the cans were too big. Like, the Red Bull sizing was perfect, whatever that was, 8 ounces. But like, does he drink them? Has he ever had a Monster? Like, do you think he's ever had a Monster?
No.
Never one. Like, not even in like the first meeting.
I don't think he's finished a Monster.
Okay. That's actually the better question.
Like me with
that's
beer.
The better,
I hate beer.
That's
I've
the
never
better question.
Beer.
Yeah. Like, you drink it till it gets kind of even remotely not cold and then you're done with it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I don't think he's ever finished one. I think he's definitely started one, had a sip or two to be polite, never finished it.
Claire, I had a friend of mine years ago that said he wanted to get rich enough to where he could hire someone to come with him to bars. And when he gets to that point with the beer where it's like not that good anymore, but like nobody's going to actually say it's not good anymore, he wanted to have somebody that would finish that beer for him so it didn't go to waste, but he was capable of ordering a new one. So, you know, if it's like a 12-ounce beer, basically when you get like 8 ounces down, it's kind of not as cold. You know, it's probably not as refreshing.
Yeah.
You're kind of ready for something new. So he just passes that on to the beer drinker that he hired.
I have a cousin that does this for me. His name is Chris. He lives like 2 blocks from me. Whenever we go anywhere, because I do not like beer. And someone will get it for me and I'm like, oh, I'll have 3 sips. Don't want to be rude. Just hand it off to Chris. He chugs it. I'm like, thank you, sir.
You're like, I love you. I love you. I think about, I've said this on Twitter before, Davis Love in, what was it, like 04, the Players. He shot 64 in the final round. He hit this shot. NBC had this blimp shot of it. I will remember the shot, the video of it, and how good it was, and just the round in general. But like, that's one of probably 10 shots I probably think the most about. So that's something that's kind of at the front of my brain a decent amount is the Davis Love shot there. Chris Ireland said this, which I got to be honest, Chris, I laughed out loud when I read this. What if Martin Keimer doesn't try to hit a draw? I've gone there before in my brain. I don't think about it often, but I mean, this guy was like the best player in the world. And he's like,
I forget about him sometimes.
Yeah, it's so easy to forget. You know, when you go through like the modern golfers that have multiple major championships, it's surprising a lot of the time when you see Keimer's name. Like, it's easy to forget about Martin Keimer, but you're talking about legitimately probably the best golfer in the world for a year or two, and then he starts trying to hit a draw and completely loses a golf game. So I thought that was a good one. It was at least something that piqued my golf nerdiness.
I've got one for you. The wives who are private on Instagram. What am I missing? I want to just like get a peek.
What a great call.
For once. And what's his face is private? Cameron Young.
Is he really?
Not only is he missing out on partnerships and stuff, I need to know. I think he only has like 2 posts though, so it doesn't matter. But sometimes, you know, someone tags and I'm like, oh, let me jump over to this account and it's private. I'm like, oh, this is horrible. There's so much I'm missing out on.
You know what I would love to have? And again, it would never happen, but I would love to have a list of like what the players' burner Insta accounts are. Is it?
Yes.
Are the names relative to you? Like, is it Rory 4750 or is it just completely different? Is it like a joke or the name you check into hotels with? Like, how are you setting up your burner Instagram account? Because I'm probably right here when I say every player's got a burner Instagram account. Is that,
they've got it,
that's
right?
Probably fair to say.
When Dustin and Paulina got married, like I needed to see every photo from this. So I went to who they were following and saw the stories from their friends that had posted. And there weren't any like random accounts that they were following, like no like creepy random burner. So I don't even think that the players are following their own burner. Like the burners follow the burners, but the big accounts don't follow them.
Right, right, right.
So they just got to be so deep in. I don't even know. But there's just, we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg on their Instagrams for sure.
Oh, I do it. Like I'm 1/2000th of like a follower, like the following that a professional golfer has, but like my Shane Bacon Instagram account is work. And I have another Instagram account that's like me and my family and my children and my wife and like my life, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's just like I separate those two things because I don't want random people to know my kids' names and to see pictures of them. You know, like I would prefer that to stay in my own realm. So I'm assuming if I do it, for goodness sakes, I can only imagine that, you know, an actual famous person would probably do the same thing.
I also wonder if Sam and Charlie have Instagrams.
I'm sure they got to have them. They have to have it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody does. One of the last ones we'll hit before we go, Tyler said, and this kind of goes back to one of the ones we heard earlier about the 09 majors, the fact that for a matter of a few shots, Tiger could have won the 2018 Open, the 2018 PGA, and then the 2019 Masters. He was that close to doing that. He would have had 84 wins and 17 major championships. I mean, I kind of forget that he was in the hunt at both those majors. I think he was leading the Open at one point, right? And then he made like a bogey or a double on 10 or 11. And then he was right there with Brooks at the PGA. And then, of course, he goes on to win that Masters. So a real legitimate chance to win three straight majors later part of his career.
Yes. I think the last like 2-3 years have been so traumatizing Tiger that I honestly forget almost before the 2019 Masters.
Right.
What happened? I see the 2019 Masters and I see, you know, whatever. And then the past, almost 2 years that I forget. I think of like 2010 and then something skips into where we are now.
Well, I think it's because in a way it happened in our lives. I mean, when you think about life, I mean, I don't know if you do this, I do this all the time, is I'll say, oh, you know, a couple of years ago, but it was 4 years ago because 2020 like didn't really happen. Like nobody did anything and nothing really happened in 2020. And a lot of that carried over to 2021. And so it almost feels like those two lost years are so easy to forget even existed that skipping over those, it's crazy to think about, you know, life previous to that and how much stuff happened before that. And then to think about kind of life post the pandemic and all that stuff. It's just 5 years ago was 5 years ago, but it feels like it was 2 years ago, you know?
Yes. I'm always like, I'm 2 years out of college. I am 22. No, I'm not. I'm 27.
I'm really not 22. Well, trust me, I'm 39 and like, it is so bananas to go. You're like, I'm in my mid 30s. Like, no. I am like a wedge away from 40. So no, that's not the case. Claire, I like the exercise. What were your thoughts?
This was fun. This was really fun. I like it because it's almost like therapy. I can get my thoughts out. I'm not keeping them to myself anymore. There's so much. And we're not alone here. Everyone has these.
Everybody's got them. And we appreciate the people that submitted them. There were a ton of them. We had great responses. I mean, even Rappaport, you know, said, what if Watson hits 9-iron at the Troon Open instead of the 8-iron that goes over the green? I think that's something a lot of people think about is the Tom Watson nearly won a freaking major championship in 2009, which is wild. Yeah. I always think about, does he make like the Ryder Cup team if that happens? You know, I asked Langer this past year on TV if he felt like he could help the Ryder Cup team. And he said, yes, you know, like, these older guys get forgotten, but like, could they have made it if, you know, a bounce happens one way or the other? Lot of things, the golf is such a, you know, it's a slight moment of a little bounce and a break here, a piece of grass there, and everything changes. So no surprise that these things linger in our brains for years and years and years. Claire, tell people where they can follow you, what you're doing, where to buy that sweatshirt. Can you tell everybody everything?
This sweatshirt is from Ryder Cup. Ryder Cup.
That's great.
K Claire Rogers on Twitter. And
what's
I'm going to be Catherine. I go by my middle name.
So this is a little bit like KP, like closest to the pin where everybody calls Claire, but it's like Claire Rogers.
Yes, exactly. Okay, gotcha. Some people will see it and think that I spell my name with the K, which I'm like, my parents aren't that weird. But yes, Catherine Claire. Right every week, the Rogers Report. I'm going to be at the PNC. Next weekend with my coworker, James, we're going to write a bunch of fun stuff for that. So I'm really looking forward to it. I've never been before.
Going to be awesome. That's a fun event down there. And I mean, it's chilling. Obviously, it's not cold, which is a bonus, bonus, bonus. Also, you contributed to Normal Sport, Kyle Porter's book.
Yes.
Make sure you check that out. Go to Kyle Porter's Instagram, Twitter, whatever, and order a copy. I did the audio for it. So if you're an audiobook listener, you'll hear me for hours and hours and hours reading the book. I didn't do your chapter in an English accent. I said it on the audiobook though. I said when I did chapter, I said Claire wanted me to read this in an English accent, but I'm saving you guys from my awful impersonations. But your chapter was great. Everybody did a great job. I'm actually playing golf in a few minutes with Joel Beal, who was also involved in the book as well. So follow Claire. She's one of the best out there and always entertaining. Thank you so much for joining me, Claire.
Thanks.
All righty. Big thanks to Claire Rogers for the time. Thank you for sending in the things that kind of stay on your mind more often than maybe they should. Appreciate everybody that was involved in that. And yeah, just a reminder, the Golfer Zoo is available back9press.com/bacon. And also, if you need any logo work at any point in your life, you can check us out, Ground Under Repair. Follow us at GURDesigns.com, and you can check out all we're doing there. All righty, back next week.
Get a Grip with Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio.